Let's get into the details this afternoon. A joint news research has revealed government of Ghana still owes independent power producers over $700 million, even after settling close to about $1.5 billion in energy sector legacy debt. Official records indicate that government has already informed the IMF about its plans to settle the remaining balance owed them latest by 2028. Head of research here at Joy News, Isaac Ofiedje, joins me in the studio with details of our computations as far as debt repayment in the energy sector is concerned. Kofi, so we know government has paid over $1.4 billion in the sector. Let's break that down.
Well, so the amount involved, just like Mami said, is $1.4 billion US. And we understand that if you look at this, the IMF or the World Bank, partial risk guarantee, the government paid some $597 million. And outstanding gas invoices owed to ENI and Vitol was also about $480 million. Legacy debt owed IPPs is $393 million, US dollars. So combined, this gives that $1.47 billion government claims it has actually paid in 2025 to the energy sector.
Well, you say close to about $400 million has already been paid. What's the status of the remaining debt government owes?
Well, let's go to the 2026 budget, where the finance minister gave an update about the legacy debt owed independent power producers. According to the finance minister, the debt owed them was around $1.4 billion, US dollars that they inherited from the previous administration. According to them, after the haircut or the restructuring, they were able to save some over $250 million US dollars. So the remaining debt after the restructuring was some $1.1 billion US dollars. And we understand that currently government has paid 393, which is about 36% of the remaining debt. So currently government is still owing IPPs $707 million, which is about some 64% that government is still yet to pay IPPs.
Thank you very much, Kofiedje, for that. We can now hear from the CEO of Independent Power Producers Ghana, Dr. Elik Blim Akpetogbo, who told Joy News about how previous political interference as well as issues of transparency crippled growth in the sector.
The sector is being reformed and it's an ongoing process. I can see the practical steps that are being taken. For instance, one critical issue is transparency and fairness in the sector, as well as independence of the sector from political interference. That was the case in the years past, and that's seriously affected the growth of the sector. But you could see clearly at this time that we are gradually coming out of those influences, and that is actually having a positive impact on the sector. So, in fact, we are moving forward, and things, I believe, will get very well sooner than later.
Well, you heard there Elik Blim Akpetogbo, CEO of Independent Power Producers Ghana. Well, Bank of Ghana opens audit into financial transactions in the Gold for Oil program, which was terminated in 2025 after a $2.2 billion loss between 2022 and 2024. We're live in Parliament, where the Ghana Revenue Authority is chasing a number of offshore oil companies to recover close to $2 million in rental fees default. My colleague James Avaji is there for us and give us details of these issues. James, let's start with the Bank of Ghana opening audit into financial transactions in the Gold for Oil program.
Mami, you would want to come again. I've lost you briefly.
Well, I'm asking about the Bank of Ghana opening audit into the financial transactions into the Gold for Oil program, which terminated in 2025 after a $2.2 billion loss.
Yes, exactly. So that revelation just came at the sitting this morning, and the indication is that this particular program had been terminated in May 2022. The total loss under this program is 2.2 billion US Ghana cedis, and the Bank of Ghana said as part of the restructuring they have currently issued an audit into an external firm to look into this and make some recommendations. 2 months ago, the public procurement authority gave a go ahead for that. And so that auditing is currently underway, and the auditing will review the true financial transactions in this program and also give some recommendations on the way forward for the Good for Oil program.
Right, James. So beyond this, how well are they structuring the program?
Mami, if you recall, the Good Boss CEO, Sammy Jemfe, when he came on our airways, indicated that the plan for 2026 is to see how the Gold Board can take over the program fully from the Bank of Ghana. The BOG boss said this week they have a meeting with the Gold Board to thrash out issues and see how the two entities can either hand in hand or lease this to the Gold Board to move forward and make this as profitable as it can be for the country.
Also, the GRA appeared earlier before the committee on some rental fees saga. How was it resolved?
So these are fees owed both the GRA as well as the Ministry of Energy, where foreign and local offshore oil companies pay what they call surface rentals. In 2023, they owe as much as 2.7 million Ghana cedis. That rose to 2.9 million US dollars, I must say, in 2024. Some amounts have been retrieved, totaling about 1 million US dollars. The GRA said they are currently engaging both the ministry and its agencies, especially for those companies that are not in the country as we speak, to see how they can retrieve this money. But as we speak, they've retrieved some, and they are currently exploring every avenue to retrieve the rest.
Right, James. And who else is expected to appear before the committee before the day ends?
The Ministry of Education, specifically the Scholarship Authority, is expected to appear before the committee, where they'll be answering on scholarship disbursement, both local and foreign, in the past few years, in 2024, and other ministries, including the Ministry of Agric, are all expected to appear before the committee today.
Thank you very much. James Avaji is in Parliament for us. Now, lawyers for former Finance Minister Ken Ofori-Atta have slammed the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine, accusing him of recklessly parading an unfinished investigation into alleged offshore dealings in the public domain, despite the probe remaining inconclusive. Dr. Dominic Ayine on Newsfile with Samson Ladi Anyenini revealed that his office is working closely with foreign investigators to track what he claims are offshore dealings linked to the former finance minister, who is currently being held in ICE detention in the United States. Dr. Ayine said international cooperation is underway to follow these dealings outside Ghana.
So you know that even from day one, I didn't make this public, but I started investigating Ofori-Atta, all right? In fact, in his case, I'm doing it with, some foreign investigators that are tracking, you know, all the offshore dealings and so on, all right? And then, of course, we are also doing our own investigations here. They are inconclusive as we speak. I mean, we have not, come to any conclusion. So
this is different from the SML.
It's different, totally different, and potentially mind-blowing, you know, but I, you know that I will not, give any details at this point in time.
Well, speaking on News Desk this morning, with me, member of Ken Ofori-Atta's legal team, Frank Davies, expressed huge disappointment in Dr. Dominic Ayine's posture on this inconclusive investigation.
Yeah, it is, he tell the Attorney General, when people get the opportunity to talk to him, tell him that he is an Attorney General of the Republic. He is not an acting general. He is an Attorney General, not an acting general. So this public gimmickry, theatric, and unuseful and needless, that's not for the. We have seen a lot of prisoners. I mean, he doesn't play the kind of character he is taking upon himself. It is cutting a very bad name for that. I mean, you come on radio, and you come and talk and text like that. If you are investigating something and it is not conclusive, what is the business coming to Ghana in? So that you start courting public hatred, you start courting prejudice, you start courting hate for the man. This is about the man. I'm disappointed. If the Attorney General says he's investigating something, he should terminate the investigation and charge the regulator and stop coming on radio and doing what he's doing. That is not the work of an Attorney General. Not the Attorney General has seen before in this country.
Frank Davis is a member of Ken Ofori-Atta's legal team, and Ken and his lawyers will appear in court on the 20th of January on his petition against his detention in ICE. Moving on, President John Mahama is in the United Kingdom, where he's expected to hold meetings with coordinators of the Accra Research Initiative. He will also continue to Davos in Switzerland to participate in a session of the World Economic Forum. The Accra Research is a global governance and development reform agenda launched by President Mahama. It seeks to rethink and redesign the world's development and financing systems, especially for health, climate, jobs, and economic resilience, moving beyond the traditional aid-driven model that many countries, especially in Africa, have been dependent on. Presidential Affairs correspondent Max Olagbagba has more on the Accra Research in this report.
The Accra Research, led by President John Mahama and his co-convener, former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, proposes a new architecture anchored in sovereignty, workability, and shared value. Health will serve as an entry point and proof of concept, transitioning from aid dependency to health sovereignty, building on commitments made at the Africa Health Sovereignty Summit in Accra in August 2025. A club of Accra Coalition will initiate work to pilot financing innovations for investment in health, climate, food security, and job creation. The launch last year saw the unveiling of the Global Presidential Council, which will unite a coalition of heads of states and government from Africa, Latin America, and beyond to provide political leadership and accountability. A global college of advisors comprising eminent experts from health, finance, innovation, and business will also be assembled to design and oversee pilots and financing mechanisms. Supporters at the launch here in Accra included political and institutional leaders who affirmed their support for the Accra Reset. Olusegun Obasanjo, who is the co-patron of Afro Champions, urged solidarity, fit for the new era, and a move away from aid dependency. Former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown called the reset a plan for the future and endorsed building health sovereignty. President William Ruto, in a speech read on his behalf, emphasized financing national ambition and holding Global Presidential Council accountable for progress towards universal health coverage.
Max Olagbagba is Presidential Affairs Correspondent. Now, government says it is considering extending the gun amnesty program following calls from various stakeholders. The Interior Minister in December last year announced the initiative to provide every law-abiding Ghanaian in possession of an unregistered or illicit firearm the opportunity to surrender it without fear of interrogation, arrest, or prosecution. Following a series of engagements and stakeholder meetings, the National Commission on Small Arms and Light Weapons reports that a number of individuals have voluntarily surrendered their weapons. Listen to Deputy Minister for Interior Ebenezer Okletie-Telabi.
We are aware of the growing public interest and stakeholder call for the extension, as the CEO said, of the Gun Amnesty Program. I wish to assure you that the Honourable Minister of Interior is giving careful consideration to these calls. This reflects government recognition of the realities on the ground and the need to ensure that no individual is denied the opportunity to comply with the law due to lack of time, information, or access. However, while this consideration is ongoing, it is important to emphasize that the amnesty is still in effect. The program provides a lawful, non-punitive window for individuals who are in possession of illicit firearms or ammunition to surrender them voluntarily or to regularize their weapons in accordance with existing laws. I therefore want to use this platform to strongly encourage all persons in possession of illicit firearms to take advantage of the gun amnesty program surrounding such arms is not a sign of weakness.
And you heard the Deputy Minister for the Interior, Ebenezer Okletelabi, who apologised for the poor quality of sound. But the Commission has been holding one of such engagements this afternoon in Accra, from where my colleague Gemma Apia joins us. Gemma, so what's informing the decision to extend the deadline?
So the Small Arms Commission says it has been meeting various stakeholders, and one of the issues that have come up is for the Small Arms Commission, together with the Interior Ministry, to extend the amnesty period so that more people can surrender their illegal firearms or get them regularized. The Small Arms Commission says that if you have an illegal or illicit firearm, you can actually get it registered, and the police will take you through the appropriate training so that you can own it legally. But after their engagement with some stakeholders, the consensus have been that they extend the amnesty period so that more people can go to the various police stations and surrender their illicit firearms.
Well, Gemma, so with the weapons that have been surrendered so far, what's been done to it?
Now, the weapons, the Small Arms Commission did not talk about what exactly they're going to do with the weapons now. But what they are saying is that they are in the various firearms they've been able to receive so far are in their custody as we speak. And so they are waiting for the period to be over to communicate what exactly that is going to happen to them. What they tell us is that, usually when they get these firearms, the illicit ones, they destroy them so that it will get out of the system completely. So that's one of the things that we are expecting that they will do, that they will destroy these firearms that they have received.
Right, Gemma, thank you very much. Gemma Apia there for us. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. When we return, President Mahama, brought you President Mahama in the UK to drive global development reforms through the Accra Reset. We'll bring you later how a new African words, which have now been included in the Oxford Dictionary, like Nyash, Ghana Must Go, and others. Do stay. Welcome back to the Midday News. We have sports.
Mamesi Asante Kotoko head coach Karim Zito is under pressure following a disappointing run of results in the Ghana Premier League. The Porcupine Warriors are yet to record a win in 2026 after a defeat to Swedro All Blacks and a draw with Brekum Chelsea. Three wins in eight matches have left Kotoko 6 points behind league leaders Midiama. Zito says he is open to leaving the club if Kotoko decide to sack him.
I've never been sacked before in my life. Go back to my history. I leave Yongo. I can go to his home today. But until those who brought me here say something to me, there's nothing. Whatever people are saying, well, they have the right to say it because Kotoko should win. And we are not winning. For pressure, it is everywhere. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you don't have money to give to your wife. Pressure. But what makes me happy is if I'm leaving the club today, I will leave Chelsea. I'm yet to be 1 year.
Yeah.
But how many cups? Four. But if there's no patience, they say, well, I don't know, Zito go, I will leave.
Karim Zito is the head coach of Asante Kotoko.
Thank you, Mubarak. Let's head to Tema Ashama to be specific. Tension is rising there as traders fiercely oppose government plans to redevelop the congested facility into a modern 24-hour market. The project promised by the NDC ahead of the 2024 election is intended to transform selected markets nationwide, including Ashama Market. But traders there fear the redevelopment could cost them their stalls and livelihood. Carlos Kaloni visited the market and filed this report.
For weeks, anger and agitation have gripped the Ashaiman market. Traders,
clad in red scarves and armbands, are protesting what they describe as a looming threat to their livelihoods. They insist the Mahama-led administration's plan to redevelop the market could displace them permanently.
This market is from our great, 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 great mother. We have our grandmothers in the house sick. Some people are on stroke. They rented this shed to take care of them. How can you do this? You came just 3 weeks to come and tell her you are come to bid what? I'm sure that Mama is not aware. The DC and the government should be very careful. We voted for them. And Voyagers will come back again. And they will see our true colors. We don't want any of our mother market.
They shouldn't do it. If they want to do something better, that this who came and they want to make a stores in front of, he has to say before they build the new shed in front of the markets. But why the people are suffering to get something to chop? You said that they will sack all of them to their house. What are they going to eat?
But the municipal chief executive, Freeman Chekpo, insists that no trader will be ejected after the project's completion.
The main market that we want to redevelop, one, is going to be a state market that the state will build by its funds. Two, the people who are in the market will be taken care of and will still sell in the market. So this is a government policy. It has nothing to do with selling it to any private developer to develop and therefore sell it out to the highest bidder in order to make their money back. So, in short, our current market women are being taken care of in the design, in the plan.
Freeman Chekpo further explained that alternative trading site will be provided during construction to prevent disruption to businesses.
The assembly will definitely provide alternative selling places for our marketers. While construction is going on, I will eat, you will eat. Everybody in Ashama will eat, which means that we will still have to go and buy our tomato, pepper, momoni, and the salt. So definitely, I want to assure our marketers that their service is needed at all times, and therefore it will be provided for.
Well, moving on, the rising number of indebted patients is causing a growing congestion crisis, affecting bed availability, delaying surgical procedures, and straining the facility's limited resources at Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, Kath. Authorities say the development is placing significant pressure on the hospital's finances and its ability to meet obligations to medical supplies. CEO of the hospital, Dr. Pakwesi Beidu, spoke to Joe News.
Is there a lot of people you wish they could go as I indicated? Because once they are here, they occupy your bed, you need to feed them. Sometimes they are here for several days or weeks. But you cannot just say, get up and go. And again, you cannot say, because you are not paying your bill, give me the bed, sleep on the floor. That is not human. But that contributes to some of the congestions we have in the hospital. When you come, you see, we render a lot of services from emergency, some may go to the theater, some may from there go to the ward. But if you need to be sent to the ward, meanwhile, the bed on which you are going to occupy is already being occupied by somebody, it means that we cannot send you to the ward. So it leads to the theaters getting congested. It delays because patients who are supposed to go to theater, yes, you have theater bed, but afterwards they have to go to recovery. And we serve 12 out of the 13 regions. And indeed, now we're getting from Western region, Western North.
The Ghana National Fire Service has identified negligence by drivers and a deteriorating condition of the Kumasi-Accra Highway as major contributors to the increasing rate of accidents on the highway. The concerns follow a fatal road crash at Mankrong on the Accra-Kumasi Highway on Sunday, which claimed a life and left 37 others with varying degrees of injuries. The collision involved a 40-seater tong bus and a man diesel truck, both of which were in motion at the time of the crash. Eyewitnesses indicated that the bus was speeding before crashing into the truck. Listen to Richard Steve Akosa, Public Relations Officer of the Ghana National Fire Service in the Koforidua Municipality.
The problem is with our drivers themselves. when our roads are very good, they tend to speed with, I mean, without reason. And when the road is bad too, we know what that also can lead to. So it's like, I don't know, a double whammy kind of thing. The road is good, people overspeed and don't take caution. And most of the people who ply these roads are people traveling long distances. They get tired. Instead of parking and resting, they won't. They still continue the journey. And all these can result, you know, some portions of the road beyond the Eminem side of the road, that is very terrible, heading towards Kumasi. But from Apeja heading towards Accra and Sawam side is quite good. So they tend to speed there. And these two situations, any one of them could result into accidents. So, yeah.
It's all about
education. It's all about educating people to know that life is more important than money that they will make. Wanting to reach early and load and go back again.
Now, let's do what's trending. Adobe Asari is in the studio with me. And what's interesting is some new African words have made their way into the Oxford Dictionary. Adobe has all the details. Adobe, first of all, how does a word qualify to be listed in the dictionary?
Good. It's interesting to mention this because about 500 words have been added to the Oxford English Dictionary. You have about 22 coming from West African words. Now, a word gets into the dictionary when it's used by many people who all agree that it means the same thing.
Right.
And over here, I'm seeing so many interesting ones. You have Abrochere, you have Obroni, you have Nyash, you have Ghana Must Go, Hip Life, Pan Logo, Life Soup.